God teaches us right and wrong, people, not society. No. If a society is not following God, it's going to be confused about what is right and wrong. And that's what's happening in our society.
We'll get to the rest of Pastor Mark's message in just a moment, but first we want to say thanks for joining us for the weekly Beechwood Christian Church podcast with Senior Minister Mark Black. We'll have more information about the church and how to contact us at the end of the podcast, but for right now, let's join Mark for this week's message.
Today's scripture reading is Romans 3, 19 through 24. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law we become conscious of sin. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and prophets testify. This righteousness comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Emily. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that, Father, we may learn from your word, gain strength from your word, encouragement from your word, and that, Lord, you may teach us, and that, Lord, through my mouth, you will be honored. I thank you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to speak the gospel and to proclaim your goodness. Thank you, God, for loving us. May your name be lifted up in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's kind of interesting that the sermon title would be, What is Sin? You know, it was Pilate that says, What is Truth? We have now gotten to the point to where we say, What is sin in our society? I mean, our society doesn't want to call anything sin, does it?
No.
Doesn't want to call anything sin. Everything is a disease. Have you noticed that? You either have a disease or something in your genes that has caused this to happen. Yes. I mean, just take a look at the trouble that we are seeing about the transgender situation in our society. I wanted to address that a little bit because society says that in the transgender way that they ought to use any bathroom of their choice. I know of a young boy, and I say young, I'm talking around third grade or so, that he doesn't know if he wants to be called a boy or a girl. And they're telling, don't do that. Don't call him boy. Don't call him a girl. Well, what do you call him? An it? I don't know. Well, anyway, you know, if you call people minority, they somehow get rights. Have you ever noticed that? If you call a people a minority, they get rights. I've been thinking about this. They've been doing research, and they came out with the religion gene. Well, I must have it. So maybe I could become a minority, and I could get my rights. I don't think so. Somehow we seem to be losing rights. On this transgender thing, I want you to think about this. And I read this in an article, and Carol, I don't know if you left the article in my car or not, or where it came from, but I read it, and I was fascinated by one thing of the transgender situation. Child custody cases sexual harassment cases, and many other legal matters historically favor women. Have you thought of that? And if I have a self-identification as a woman, that's all that's required then. Today, I feel like maybe I want to be a woman. And so when I go to court as a woman. And I say, I should get my children. Things are getting out of hand, people. We're headed down a rocky road. You see, there's more to it than that bathroom bill. And that's bad enough, people. We are totally confused about gender in our society and roles as men and women. We are very confused. We're confused about marriage. We really are. And there's a reason why we're confused about all of this stuff. You know, that's why I recommended The Art of Marriage. Because I think it puts everything back in perspective. In fact, I think Christian people ought to take that course. Really. We're confused because we no longer use God as a definition for sin. His rules. His laws. And when we get rid of God, we can get rid of the laws. Stop and think about it. Let's get rid of God out of schools. Yeah. Then we can teach anything we want as right and wrong. So we become confused. What is the definition of sin? Well, the definition of sin, according to Merriam-Webster, and this was on the internet, so I know it's true. Okay, it says, an offense against religious or moral law. In other words, pertaining to God, although they didn't say that. I bet you that's changed over the years. An action that is, or is felt to be highly reprehensible. It's a sin to waste food. I remember a song, it's a sin to tell a lie. An often serious shortcoming, a fault. A fault. That's kind of a nice definition. I like that definition for sin. That person has a fault. They're not sinning. They have a fault. You see, sin is directly related to the authority of God. You get rid of that authority of God, you get rid of sin. Anything goes. It's all right. 1 John, and by the way, I put John 3:4 in your bulletins. You may want to put 1 John 3:4. I made a boo-boo. It was my fault. It wasn't Shirley's fault. Every once in a while, I have a fault. And then it says in there, it says, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. That's what's happening in our society. God gives the law. God lays it down. God says what is right, what is wrong. Man gets rid of God, and there's lawlessness. Pretty simple. Let's go home. No. Romans 7:7 says this, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. For I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, you shall not covet. See, the law tells us what is right and wrong. The law... The law teaches us what is sin. The law teaches us what is sin. And in Romans 3:19, we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may be accountable to God. Oh, that's the rub. That's the rub right there. The law makes the world accountable to God, and we don't want that. We're like Adam and Eve. We want to become God. We want to make our own rules, our own things. You do away with God. You don't have those laws. Wow. God teaches us right and wrong, people, not society. No. If a society is not following God, it's going to be confused about what is right and wrong. And that's what's happening in our society. I won't be able to define what is sin, for we no longer listen to the voice of God. Wow. John Adams made this statement: our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. If that is the case, we're in trouble, people. We are in trouble. Now, I want to show you, now that we've defined what sin is, I want to show you that sin has a progression in our life, and sin has a progression in our society. The book of Romans, which we are reading, you know, this week and part last week and that we're going through, lays this out for us, that there is the progression of sin. It leads to other things. Now, I find it interesting. In fact, as we're reading through the book of Romans, we find in the first chapter of Romans, verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all godlessness and unrighteousness of men," and get this, "who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." You see, that's how it first starts. Men suppress the truth in unrighteousness then. You see, if you tell a lie hard enough, long enough, over enough, people might believe it. So you suppress the truth. Now, in Romans 1 then 23, as we read, it says, "And they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible men and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures." They exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of the corruptible. Now that's very interesting. Because now, no longer do we hold to the incorruptible God, but we hold to the image of the corruptible, of man, as being the authority. Now, I put pornography here because, you know, the very next couple of verses says, "Therefore, in Romans 1:24, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them." People, let me talk just a little bit about pornography, because it's a very important topic. When you no longer honor the incorruptible God and you begin worshiping corruptible body image, pornography is exactly that. Instead of worshiping God, you are fixated on the corruptible body. And pornography can destroy and destroy and eat away, and that sin can do all kinds of damage to a marriage, to an individual, because you exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for the corruptible. Now, In Romans 1:25, it says, they exchanged the truth of God. Remember, it's about suppressing truth. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They worshiped the creature rather than the Creator. Yes. That's what we're doing in our society. We abuse women. We abuse men. In Romans 1:26, it says, here's the beginning of more of the progression. For this reason, because they've exchanged this and worshiped the creature rather than the Creator, for this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. God gave them over to their degrading passions. You know, there's a time when God says, you want that? I'll give that to you. Okay. And you will go downhill. And God gave them over. You know, I look at that in the country and I say, we wanted, we got. There used to be an advertisement, I remember, for Toyota. You want it, you got it, Toyota. Remember that? Yeah, I remember that, yeah. Because I watched all those advertisements for cars. Yeah. Which is a bad thing, too, because that's corruptible. They rust. I know. So it's interesting that God gives them over to degrading passions. And we're dealing with homosexuality now. You see how the progression goes? In Romans 1:27 it says, and in the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. In Romans 28, the very next verse, it says, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, they've suppressed the truth so much, they won't acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do the things which are not proper. And so here we see another step, that God gave them over to a depraved mind. There's no laws holding them back. They have suppressed the truth of God. They have taken God out. They've taken His right and wrong morals out. And now, look what's going to happen. In Romans 1:29-32, listen to this. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they knew the ordinances of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but they give heartily approval to those hearty approval to those who practice them. Boy, if there ever was anything that described our society, I think that is it. We call wrong right and right wrong. Well, that's how it kind of slides. And sin gets worse and worse and worse. Now, before we stick in our thumb and pull out a plum and say, what a good guy am I, There's another verse that talks about us all. And it's found in Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means you. That means me. You know what that means? I need God. I need Him. I need Him in my life, and I need Him to forgive me, because I too have broken the laws of God. I too have sinned. So let's talk about the third thing, the solution. And that solution had to come from God, because all of the sin was done towards God, and we have truly, truly offended the great, almighty Creator of the universe. And now we stand before Him. We are incapable of not sinning. You know, God is the perfect one, is He not? So we all stand condemned. But my, have we offended the Almighty God. In Romans 3:24, we find good news. Being justified as a gift. Wow. By His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Wow. We have offended God. And He's going, here's a gift. Now that's grace. That's unmerited favor, is it not? Wow. And He turns and He says, in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Good news! We can have that grace. Grace through redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Grace through redemption which is in Christ Jesus. And this free gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's why Jesus is God in the flesh. And that's why He can forgive us. We cannot truly understand, people, what sin is without God. That'll never happen. And God has offered to us His unmerited favor, that's called grace, by offering us eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. The Word, the essence of God that became flesh and dwelt among us. We need to get back to God, don't we? Church, would you say we have a job to do? Yes, we do. And we must show the world Jesus. And the only way to do that is through our own actions. The things we do. The things we say. I can't get over the love of God that we would offend Him so much and He would say, here's a gift. It's free. Well, it cost me, but it's not going to cost you. So we take that gift, and I tell you what, that gift transforms us, changes us from the inside out. It is He that we have offended, and it is He that will forgive. Don't let sin take its course in your life. Sin is a cancer, people. It will always destroy. You can't cure yourself. What won't happen? Don't forget, you are the one that is not God. He is. It's interesting that when Jesus was born, in Matthew 1:21, it says, "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Jesus, Savior, the one who saves. And he has come to save us from our sins. Have you accepted the gift? Have you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life? Have you turned to him and confessed him? Have you said, "I believe in you, Jesus, and I want you in my life. I do not want to suppress the truth any longer." I accept you, Christ. I confess you. And I repent of my sins. And I identify with Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism, that he has washed away my sins. And he does that through baptism. And then you rise to walk in the newness of life, ready to show the world that is in darkness the light of Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the weekly podcast. We really hope you get a chance to worship with us sometime at Beechwood Christian Church. We're located at 12950 Easton Street Northeast in Alliance, Ohio. You can find more information about our church on our website at www.beechwoodchristian.org. Our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings, and we would love to have you join us. Again, thanks for listening, and may God richly bless you and your family.